Welcome to another broadcast of the Florida Free Speech Forum. This program was recorded for broadcast by WUFT-FM and WJUF-FM on Monday, November 9th, 2009 at the Paramount Plaza Hotel and Conference Center in Gainesville. Today's guest speaker will be Anna Prizia, the director of the University of Florida's Office of Sustainability, speaking on Common Sense for a Common Future, Opportunities and Challenges for Campus Sustainability. Arnie Bleiweiss, Vice President of the Florida Free Speech Forum, will open today's program.
Good afternoon. My name is Arnie Bleiweiss, Vice President of the Florida Free Speech Forum. Welcome to the November 9th, 2009 meeting of the forum. The Florida Free Speech Forum intends to serve as the foremost bastion of free speech in the southeastern United States. To that end, we stand proud of our success as a provider of monthly forums for 14 years. For more information about the Florida Free Speech Forum, you may find our website at floridafreespeech.org. There you will find upcoming program information, links to the archives of past programs, get a membership form, and communicate with the forum leadership through email. When you join the forum, please be sure to give us your email so we may communicate with you in a timely manner. Our forum does not endorse candidates nor take sides on issues other than the issue of exercising the right of free speech. And to that mission, we are committed with passion. Questions after the presentation make an important contribution to the forum. We ask questioners not to state their opinions, but simply ask a question in a manner that will elicit more information on the topic being discussed. So when the floor is open for questions, please come to the microphone, state your name, and question. The forum meets at the Paramount Resort and Conference Center in Gainesville, Florida, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on the second Monday of the month, September through May. Forum programs and question and answer session that follow are recorded and rebroadcast by WUFT-FM and WJUF-FM on the first Sunday of each month at 11 a.m. Reservations may be made by calling 335-3938 no later than the Thursday before the Monday of the meeting. To introduce our speaker, I'd like to introduce Dr. Phyllis Meek of the University of Florida.
I'm not sure the University of Florida would claim me anymore. I used to be there. Well, as you probably have determined by coming to our various programs, what we've been trying to do is to deal with contemporary social issues. And our topic today is on sustainability. And certainly that is a very pertinent topic. It's one that is not new. There's been a lot of discussion, and it may be called different things. However, the University of Florida only recently has begun putting much emphasis on sustainability and, in fact, has set up an office of sustainability. And the people in that office have done a great deal. Our speaker is the director, and her name is Anna Prizia, and she is the director, as I said, of the Office of Sustainability at the university. She was appointed in 2009, but she had worked there previously. She has a bachelor's degree in marine biology from the University of North Carolina at Wilmington, and then she saw the light and came to the University of Florida and got a master's degree in wildlife ecology and conservation with a certificate in tropical conservation and development from UF. In addition to her academic training, she has experience in natural resource management, habitat assessment, volunteer coordination, facilitation in the areas of environment, education, and program development. Prior to becoming director, as I indicated, she had worked in the Office of Sustainability for 2 years. She previously was Watershed Action. She's actually done a great deal considering the fact she's young. Of course, that's you realize the whole concept of age becomes increasingly relative. But anyway, she was previously Watershed Action Volunteer Coordinator for Lytle County, implementing community water education programs. Other experiences have included working with the St. John's Water Management District and the City of Gainesville to craft its water education campaign. A significant experience was her serving in the Peace Corps. And in the Peace Corps, she was a Peace Corps volunteer, and she worked on community-based natural resource management and small business skills. I'm pleased to have the opportunity then to present to you Ms. Anna Prizia, who is the director of the UF Office of Sustainability.
Thank you, Phyllis, for the kind introduction, and thank you to the forum for having me today. I was asked to speak on sustainability at the University of Florida, but before I do so, I just kind of like to set the stage a little bit about sustainability and sort of why we care or why I guess I care so much about this issue. Since the end of World War II, Americans have used up as much of the Earth's mineral resources as all previous generations combined. We're about 5% of the world's population, and we're consuming about 30% of the world's natural resources, and we're producing about 26% of the world's carbon emissions. So we're definitely the big hog at the trough in this world. And as such, we're sort of, I think, called to think again about the way that we are using our natural resources and begin to realize that we are consuming our resources about 25% times faster than the Earth can renew those resources. So if we continue at that rate, we would need four planets to sustain life on Earth, and yet we only have one planet on which we can live, at least with current technologies. Although I do hear they just opened the hotel on the moon, so apparently we're getting somewhere with space too. Anyway, sustainability is about the balance of economic stability and environmental preservation and social well-being. And that is really what we're trying to focus on and to make sure that we are being responsible with our Earth's mineral resources. And that this is not just about environmental preservation, but it's really ultimately about human survival on this planet and our ability to not just survive, but to thrive here on Earth. So it isn't just environmentalism in different clothing, but really takes our human considerations and motivations into consideration and becomes a lens for decision making, one where we can be thinking about risk management as we're faced with things like the deterioration of ecosystem services, and we're faced with fossil fuel depletion and climate change and economic depressions. We can turn to sustainability and that intersection between social, economic, and environmental issues to sort of guide us as we begin to make these decisions. And ultimately, I think it also helps when you're thinking about decisions from this standpoint to be a more resilient and adaptive institution or municipality or business whenever you're taking that approach. Of course, it's at University of Florida, we care very much about sustainability because we are training the next leaders who are going to go out into the world and be the policymakers, the decision makers, the business people, and the citizens of our world. And we want them to be able to think critically and make decisions that will ultimately get us back into better balance with our ecosystems and allow us to use the resources that we have in our Earth in a more cradle-to-cradle system, where rather than taking the things we need from the Earth, using them, and then tossing them away to be forgotten, we're borrowing them from the Earth, using them for all the things that we need, and returning them to the cycle to be used again. Also, as a tier one research one institution, we have the opportunity to really demonstrate best practices. I know many of you are faculty or former faculty at the university, and you know the amazing expertise we have there and the opportunities to demonstrate all of that amazing expertise in research and share it with our communities, other municipalities, and other institutions is a great challenge, especially in the realm of sustainability. And last but not least, we do consume significant resources. We are a huge campus with, I think, about 55,000 students and 30,000 staff, faculty, and administrators coming and going every day. So with about 80,000 people coming and going from campus, we definitely have a major responsibility. I think our utility bill alone is about $40 million a year. So we're big consumers ourselves, and we need to be thinking about our impacts as well. At the office, we have a set of 14 guiding principles that we use to make our decisions around how we move in different directions for focusing on sustainability. They span everything from teaching and research and waste reduction to diversity and social equity and agriculture and dining services. So we really do span just about every piece and touch a little bit of every piece of the university. But having said that, we don't do it alone. In fact, our job is really to be sort of the hub of the bicycle wheel, I like to say, not as the center of the universe, but as somebody who connects all of the pieces and parts of the university together and inspires people to collaborate with each other to find new solutions to these challenges. We're really lucky, as Phyllis indicated, to have amazing support from our administration. Dr. Machen and Mr. Ed Popple and a lot of our administrators are very supportive of the sustainability effort and have chosen to put this lens for decision-making on as they move forward in making decisions for the university and are doing amazing things. We do have our office, and we currently have myself, two full-time staff, a part-time staff, and 10 student interns each semester who help us to get the job done. Our academic and operational departments across the university are probably doing the best job of really taking this charge and leading it forward and actually adopting these practices and putting them into their daily business lives. And then, of course, the student leadership is something I can't even begin to quantify. The students are so excited and dedicated and passionate about the issue. They realize that they are the ones that are going to have to be the stewards of our problems and our issues, and they're going to have to go out into the world and solve them. And they are really excited about the opportunity and the challenge. And they have come to us again and again and again, pushing us and making us move forward and to be at the forefront of these issues and not just rest on our laurels. The university has set a couple visionary goals, I would say, for sustainability. One is zero waste by 2015. It's quite a lofty goal. But, you know, if you don't set lofty goals, you'll just tiptoe along and never make it anywhere. So I always say challenge yourself. We are doing a lot towards that goal. Our dining services, our housing and residence life, our University Athletic Association, you name it, all of our business operations across the university are engaging in the conversations about what they need to do to be better about reducing and reusing and recycling their waste. We have alone, just one example is our Tailgater Green Team initiative. It's a game day recycling initiative where student volunteers come out and collect recyclables from our tailgaters during the games. And we have collected over 26,000 pounds a year just from that effort alone. We also compete in national competitions and fun things to get students more engaged in these issues, things like Recycle Mania and our housing, dorm, energy, and waste competitions. So we've got a lot going on in that realm. We just recently completed a full campus waste audit that was done in partnership with some faculty from environmental engineering. And we found that we're doing a pretty good job. We recycle about 36% of our waste stream, which is about on par with the Florida State average and a little bit better than the national average. So we're doing a good job. But as you can see, with 36%, we still have a long way to go to get to zero waste. So about 50% of our waste stream is still headed directly to the landfill, and we have a long way to go with trying to figure out what we're going to do in those realms. So keep an eye on what's to come there. We also have a visionary goal of carbon neutrality by 2025. Dr. Machen was the first president to sign the American College and University's President's Climate Commitment, stating that we would set a goal for carbon neutrality and that we would put together an action plan to get there. We have recently published that action plan on the President's Climate Commitment website, as well as our carbon inventory. And when you look at a pie chart of our carbon inventory, you'll see that the majority of our emissions come from the built environment. They come from our existing infrastructure, both our electricity consumption and our heating and air conditioning systems. So we have a lot of work to do in retrofitting and renovation and energy efficiency work at the university. We have a lot of other initiatives around that realm, too, that students are focusing on. The students just recently, it's 2 years ago now, passed a referendum to charge themselves a 50 cent per credit hour fee for renewable energy and energy efficiency technologies. This is currently in front of the legislature and hopefully will pass this year. If it does, it will create over $600,000 a year for us to invest in energy efficiency and renewable technology at University of Florida. Education and research is ultimately the mission and the goal of our university, as we know. And so that is definitely a major focus for the Sustainability Initiative. We have a joint standing committee of the Faculty Senate, the Sustainability Committee, who focuses on helping to develop new sustainability-focused curriculum that helps to audit the curriculum. It's provided many grants to faculty to incorporate sustainability into their coursework. And we hope that in the future we'll be able to do even more. Currently, we recently finished developing a minor in sustainability studies for the undergraduates. We have a major in design, construction, and planning at the college level, which is an interdisciplinary major for sustainability in the built environment. And we have a number of department-level certificates and even a Master of Laws in environmental issues. Of course, we also have a number of institutes and research focuses for sustainability. We have the Water Institute, the Florida Institute for Sustainable Energy, as well as a whole host of other researchers who are focusing on this issue with all of that they do. And of course, the university is a land-grant institution, and as such, we have the mission to take our research best practices and share them with the state of Florida. And so we are very dedicated to working with our Extension Service and the folks in IFAS to make sure that we're getting the resources and the information out to all of our counties and citizens across the state. In working at the university, my ultimate goal is really to make sure that the students that we're training graduate with the critical thinking skills to decide the impacts or understand the impacts that they're going to have from that social, environmental, and economic standpoint as they go into the world. And that is the ultimate goal of the sustainability program at UF. So we really work very hard to incorporate this into everything that the students do. As we know, we remember about 10 to 15% of what we read or what we hear, and we remember about 80% of what we do. So if we can incorporate sustainability into the fabric of the culture of the university, we'll have done these students a great service. We try to put it in everything from dining to grounds department to building services to academics and research. And in this way, hopefully the students are being immersed into this idea of sustainability and coming out with the ability to think critically and make decisions thinking about these things. As the Office of Sustainability, we have spent the past 2 years developing a vision for a sustainable UF and an implementation and strategic plan for this. We pulled together stakeholders from across the university, faculty, staff, students, and administrators, including the President's Cabinet, to say, if you had a blue sky and you could do anything you wanted, what would UF look like if it was sustainable? We focused on our 14 guiding principles, and we came up with a beautiful vision, which you can read on our website. And from there, we pulled everyone back together, along with other key stakeholders, and said, okay, here's our vision. Now, how do we get there? And luckily, we had a number of amazing people in the room who were willing to really meet where the rubber hits the road and start to really create the actions that are going to take the University of Florida to the next level. So we have that strategic plan, and that will be our guiding document over the next few years to get us a little closer to zero waste, carbon neutrality, and a sustainable University of Florida. With that, I will end my presentation, and I will open it up for questions because I know that I always get a ton of questions on this topic, and I'd like to have some more time for interaction.
Thank you. We welcome your questions, so please come to the microphone, give your name, and state your question briefly and succinctly.
Thank you.
John Reiskin's my name, and I would visit your website, but while we have this captive audience, would you go through some of the strategic plan initiatives that are on that website? I think that would be interesting.
Okay. They're huge. It's huge. As I said, there's 14 implementation plans, so 14 individual strategic plans for all the different areas. So I will focus on one, our energy and climate change. That's the one that's always at the forefront of my mind with that carbon neutrality goal. Examples of some of the actions are retro-commissioning all of our buildings, going back and actually looking at the buildings. Are they performing the way they were supposed to perform based on their engineering documents and diagrams? Getting the buildings performing where they were supposed to perform, or potentially optimizing those buildings to perform even better than they were originally engineered to perform. So that's one example of an action. Another one is if we have to go and purchase offsets, we want to make sure that the offsets that we're purchasing or developing benefit our local community and the state of Florida. So another action is to work with our local government and local nonprofits to develop opportunities like energy efficiency upgrades to low-income housing or restoration and preservation of our natural resources and natural areas so that we can generate those credits in a way that benefit our local communities.
Thank you. I'm delighted to hear of all these developments. I'm Richard Hires, a retired member of the faculty. I do wander around the campus from time to time, and there are three particular areas I wanted to ask you about, mainly because of my ignorance. I'm sure that there's been progress on these fronts. One has to do with trash and recycle disposal. Mm-hmm. At the University of Oregon, where we spend some time from time to time, on that campus, for every trash can, there is one or more recycle containers next to it, some for newspapers, some for bottles, some for metal. Mm-hmm. As I wander around the UF campus, I see a lot more trash cans than I do recycle containers. There's a new kind of recycle container, combination recycle trash can container I noticed mm-hmm. near Emerson Hall, mm-hmm. which looks like a very good design. Mm-hmm. And I wondered if there are many more of those scheduled to be distributed around the campus. Mm-hmm. Well, that related to that, I wander around the law school from time to time, and I see these bins of recycled containers full and overflowing, and the same thing from week to week. Well, maybe that's enough of a question. We'll hold the others and let others ask other questions, perhaps.
Okay.
What progress do you see on that front?
Sure. We are very challenged in recycling infrastructure at the University of Florida. We do have a number of recycling bins outdoors as well as indoors, but we have a long way to go. I think funding is always an issue, as well as just the design and infrastructure. We recently placed the ones at Powell Hall, at the Alumni Hall, as well as ones at the Rice Union and in the Business School Plaza at Turlington and the Hub as pilots to see how those three-tiered combined bins that you just talked about work, to see how people respond to them. We had a lot of contamination in our previous recycling bins. People were putting all kinds of food and other trash in. And when that happens, ultimately all that stuff ends up having to go to the landfill. So we're piloting those three-tiered bins, and we hope that they will work better, and we're seeing some good results. And hopefully once that pilot is over, we'll be able to place those tiered bins in strategic locations. In addition, we've written into our building and design standards that all of our new buildings will have those tiered bins outdoors, as well as recycling bins for cans and bottles and paper indoors. We have recycling bins for paper indoors in all of our buildings now on each floor, and we do have can and bottle recycling in faculty, staff, and staff areas throughout the university now. We're working on the hallways and student-driven areas. Classrooms are not allowed to have can and bottle recycling because they're not supposed to have drinks or food in the classroom. But the other areas we're working on, it's really a matter of manpower, both for the distribution and the handling of the waste and the recycling, and funding for the bins themselves. But we're working on it.
Oh, well, but maybe just as the second question, and then I will fade mercifully away.
Sure.
As to lighting, uh-huh. Many classrooms now, I believe, do have sensor lights so mm-hmm. that if there's nobody in the room, the lights go out.
Yes.
I wondered what percentage of classrooms, say, now are, mm-hmm. are equipped with sensors. And related to that, another kind of problem, I will occasionally see one student in a large classroom with all the lights on, Are there alternatives for study locations that are being promoted or students are encouraged to go instead of burning 200 lights mm-hmm. in order to sit there taking notes out of a book?
Mm-hmm. On the lighting front, we're doing a couple of things. I couldn't give you a percentage of lights that have those sensors. Unfortunately, I don't keep that kind of data in my head. I'm sorry about that. But we do have a number of rooms that are on those sensors. And as our commitment to LEED Gold, which LEED is Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design, it is a third-party certification for green building and construction. And we have a commitment to building all of our new buildings LEED Gold now. And as such, all of our buildings do contain the technology of the lights automatically shutting off when no one's there. We are also working on a lighting retrofit project where we're taking all of our lights to a more efficient version of the fluorescent lighting that exists currently. And we are doing some installation of those sensor lights in large auditoriums and conference areas and places where you get a good return on your investment for the technology itself. We do have a new 24-hour study center that's being hosted at the Hub, so students have that place to study, as well as study carols in the Marston Science Library and Library West.
I'm Chris Andrew. I need a question of clarification, and then maybe I'll have a second question.
Sure.
Is your office, does it have a reach into the research areas where possibly in the past our research emphasis, and I'll take agriculture because that was my field at the university, where the research emphasis has been much more on high impact carbon creating kinds of activities as opposed to more sensitive environmental activities mm-hmm. and sustainable activities. Mm-hmm. Now, are you involved? I know there are a couple of the other centers you mentioned, but are you involved in your strategic planning to help in the change of that fundamental kind of approach with all the technologies and things that are created in engineering or agriculture mm-hmm. or wherever it may be?
I'm asked very often to be on steering committees. I'm currently on the steering committee of the Florida Climate Institute, which is out of the Institute of Food and Agricultural Sciences, as well as recently on a steering committee for the College of Engineering in discussing how they're going to incorporate sustainability more into the work that they're doing. We do have a academics and research implementation plan, though we are not directly engaged in decision making or designing the research focuses for the university or any individual research program. We have a number of allies and a number of committed faculty and administrators who care enough about this to invite us to the table, and we're always there as a resource for individuals or departments that want to have this as a focus.
Do you see a trend in the change in the way new researchers that are coming on board and, of course, in the curriculum, a trend toward creating technologies for the world that are more sustainable?
I do. I do see that. I see both a trend towards people wanting to focus more on sustainable resources, understanding that this isn't just a buzzword anymore, but it's sort of a necessity for our future. And I also see a change and a trend towards a lot more interdisciplinary and collaborative research, where people are realizing that you can't just necessarily answer these complex problems with just an engineer or just a political scientist or just a biologist, but you need a team of people who really understand these issues from all those perspectives to come together to find those solutions.
My name is Neil White. You talked a moment ago about some lighting issues, but there's another lighting issue that's not so often mentioned. It's what astronomers refer to as light pollution, where, for example, lights on the student walkways or street lights are not properly shielded, and some of the light escapes straight up where it's totally wasted. That's an issue apparently your office is aware of?
It is. In fact, we have a sustainable lighting subcommittee, and they're always working on that. I think there's a legacy from previous presidents and issues when we had a lot of violent crime at the University of Florida, where basically the statement was, I want to be able to read a newspaper on the dark anywhere I go on campus. So the goal was to light up the campus to keep our students safe, and I think that's an admirable goal. But there wasn't a thought to the issues that you're raising of light pollution as well as of energy efficiency. And so now we're going back and in the master plan and in building standards and design codes, we're going back and requiring that we use night sky safe lighting and that we reevaluate some of the lighting that's on campus to see, is it the best type of lighting? Is it the best location of lighting? And is it the most directed light that we could use in those places?
Hello, I'm Peg Hall. I wonder if you could talk about food. You mentioned that some things were happening with dining services, but I'm interested in general about how food plays into all of this.
Sure. Food's a huge thing. It's something that students interact with at least 3 times a day and definitely a huge part of our efforts for sustainability on campus. Gator Dining Services is really committed to this issue of sustainability and working very hard on the waste reduction front, on the energy and water conservation front, from things like going trayless, which reduces the amount of wasted food and water to wash the trays, to actually going to a reusable to-go container program where students can check out a to-go container, use it, return it to be washed, and it'll be used again rather than those styrofoam clamshells or the paper clamshells that we're used to. But in addition, on the food itself front, they're working a lot with our Institute of Food and Agriculture Sciences and our local distributors and Sysco and FreshPoint and Produce Distribution Center and you name it, to make sure that they can source locally. We're up to, I think, about 23% local produce on campus, and we're actually sourcing local tempeh now. We found some local meats and eggs. We've got cage-free eggs now. So lots of efforts going on in the food front. And the exciting thing, I think, is that they are willing to, you know, push the envelope and try new things each day and really, you know, challenge, I think, not only their business practices, but also the students to think differently about what they're eating and realize that they have an opportunity to have dining not only be an experience, but also an education.
My name is Paul Hargrave, and I have a question about the recycling and the percent of waste going to the landfill. Mm-hmm. Could you be more specific? What's in the waste stream that is going to the landfill that you're going to reduce, and how?
Sure. You can actually see the full campus waste audit on our website under resources reports. It goes into very great detail about what is in that waste stream, but the big things, I guess, the big ones we need to focus on are organics. That's probably the number one big chunk in our waste stream. So food, both pre-service and post-service food, as well as plant material, not from our grounds. Our grounds does a very good job of composting, but plant material from labs and things like that. Animal waste, you name it, from research. So organics is a big one. And the second is actually paper. We still, even though we have a paper recycling program, there's still a lot of old corrugated cardboard, food contaminated paper, again, that comes from food service on campus, as well as paper that just doesn't quite make it to the recycling bin. So we have a lot of work to do in that front. Thank you so much.
Well, I'd like to thank our speaker, Anna Prizio, for today's presentation. We're going to present you, Anna, with our traditional forum mug. That's your honorarium. And a 1-year subscription to the forum as reminders of the important contributions that you and your office are making to the freedom of society. The topic of next month's forum, which will be on December 14th, is Florida's population growth, where it's been and where it's going, parenthesis, maybe. The speaker, Dr. Stanley Smith, is a professor of economics at the University of Florida. And so we look forward to that presentation, and the forum is now adjourned.
You've been listening to the Florida Free Speech Forum on WUFT-FM and WJUF-FM. Today's program featured Anna Prizio, the director of the University of Florida's Office of Sustainability, speaking on Common Sense for a Common Future, Opportunities and Challenges for Campus Sustainability. You can listen to this program again by going to the WUFT archive page on our website located at wuftfm.org/archive. That's wuftfm.org/archive. Look for Florida Free Speech Forum with Anna Pritzia. This program was recorded for broadcast by WUFT-FM and WJUF-FM on Monday, November 9th, 2009 at the Paramount Plaza Hotel and Conference Center. The recording engineer and producer was Bill Beckett, and this has been a production of WUFT-FM in Gainesville and WJUF in Inverness, and we are a public broadcasting service of the University of Florida.